Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to another episode of Missing Pages of History. Yes, those pages that are missing, we're going to do our very best to fill them in. And those who are going to be filling in those missing pages today will be our contributor and analyst of Missing Pages of History. We have with us Emmanuel out of North Carolina, June and Michaela out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This show is dedicated to serve as a vehicle for underserved communities. Often when we look at history books, we find out the interests and the history of these underserved communities and people are often left out. We often get to hear perspectives that do not reflect our daily realities. So what we want to do today is not only give you some news that you can use, but give you another alternative of looking at and analyzing these current realities that are confronting our community and our people on a daily basis. Right now, what we would like to do is talk about a little bit about the Bunning case. And with us, who will give us a backdrop on this particular case, and we want our listening audience to listen very clearly, because I think you can hear it from an interesting perspective from Emmanuel. He would like to share with us his news that we can use. We're going to talk a little bit about filling the missing pages of the real essence of the Bunning case. Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages. We'd like for you to give us your perspective on what's going on in the Bunning case. What can we learn from it, and how shall we deal with it? The stage is yours, Emmanuel.
Hi, everyone. My name is Emmanuel. I like to, in my perspective on the Bundy situation or the Bundy approach to the situation, that he's not paying fees for his cattle grazing on government land. Everyone there in Nevada, that's where it's, in Nevada, where everything is happening here, that this has become a spectacle of, people call it overreaching. It's not overreach. It should be where it should be. He should be actually arrested. He's not paying taxes over 20 years on the land that his cow is using. He's spending his cows, whatever, to in an ungrazed territory that's not supposed to be, not unless you pay fees to do this type of thing. It's like anything else. In this country, you have to pay taxes to do when it's owned by the federal government. This is federal government land. All the ranchers pay taxes but him. He don't pay taxes. He don't pay any fees. He said basically that the federal government don't exist. It's a sovereign in Nevada. All the states are supposed to be sovereign states. Well, that's not true. We're the United States of America. 50 states all have state rights, state laws, state governors. Everything is in its proper place. All of a sudden, he's bucking all these laws. Like a Ruby Ridge, like a wounded knee, he wants a confrontation. And all he has to do is do what everybody else has done. What everybody else do, basically, is pay their taxes. Now, there are loopholes that people try to go through. There are no loopholes in this particular sense because, again, you're grazing your cattle on property owned by the federal government. He only has to pay, I think it's $1.35 an acre or something, which is almost nothing. He already getting subsidized because it's $19 and something to do that. But the government subsidized him almost $17. So what are we talking about here? You're getting subsidized. But what gets me most of all with him is how he's trying to bring other things into the picture. Now, something he said really upset me. And upset a lot of people around the world. He said, African Americans or blacks are better off being slaves, and he gave his reason why. He said he went to driving by and saw, a home that black people, African Americans, were sitting on the porch. He said they should be better off if they were picking cotton. At least they'd be doing something. He said all they're doing right now is aborting their children. The young men He said, black boys should be in prison. And he said that everybody there is probably living off the government subsidy. He has no idea. But what is he living off of? Government subsidies. He lied from the beginning, said his parents bought the land in 1887, but that's not bought in 1948. He lied. Well, could these people on that he went by the home, could they buy it? Could they bought the land? No. He wasn't even allowed to do so a lot of it. He didn't even have a horse. So let's get, you know, get things in perspective. We have to stop downing our history and upgrade our history. And that's what that missing page of history do. Saying you were not allowed to do why you got where you got because of discrimination. You're not allowed to do anything. Everybody's allowed to have affirmative action but you. That's a problem. So he's talking this craziness about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King and all this. He took a stance. Like she sit on the bus. Well, yes, she did. She wanted to take a seat like every, she paid the same amount of money, which is a fee, she got on the bus. So, and where she wanted to sit at. And she didn't have no militia with her. He has a militia with him. That's a different ballgame. So how are you going to compare himself to Rosa Parks? But he's trying to make this a statement. And, of course, people on the right, the Republican Party, they are substantiating this. This is getting mowed because the cow's eating the grass. What kind of statement is this? Talking about a sovereign state. But you want to run for the President of the United States of America, but you got a sovereign state like Nevada, as he's claiming, and you're siding with him. Now you want to backtrack because of the slavery comments, because of Martin Luther King comments, and because of Rosa Parks comments, all of a sudden you want to backslide. He said another thing I didn't like, name-calling. Black boys want to call us Negroes and niggas, all these names you want to call. We shouldn't be offended by it. We should not be offended by us because it's freedom of speech. This guy is crazy. He's an idiot. He's crazy. He's a racist. Tell him what he is. But again, we have to do something about it. There have been a party of African Americans, took some land over, done this, and got guns. It'll be an assault. It wouldn't be what they're doing now. Nothing. Zero. The sheriff doing nothing. It's a double standard injustice here. Always have been, always will be. He's not paying taxes for 20 years. Well, they locked up Wesley Snipes. He didn't pay any taxes. Whoa. He ain't paid enough for 20 years. Why don't go lock him up? It's a double standard. So this is setting the precedent, and everybody should take notice. I'm not saying we're being to do the same thing. All I'm saying is do what you're supposed to do. Do what's right. Everybody, remember the Constitution. That was written in 17-something. Come on. It's got to be amended to a certain degree. But this is not the way amended, but with lawlessness. He's like a renegade. And things he's saying, you know, Fox News is all crazy. And they are buying with it. They're on a side with him. They're siding with him to what he's saying. But now when he spoke about the slave thing, people started backing up. They were better off, we would be better off being slaves today. That's his main preface. This is the Bundy situation. This is the Bundy case, you might call it. But this is his approach, that there is no federal government, for as he concerned. Should not be paying taxes. We should just take what we should take. They done took everything. We know who the makers and takers are. They try to make who they're supposed to be, but they took the land from the Indians. They took everything, put them on reservations. And this is what he's talking. Just take stuff. Don't have to pay for it. Everybody should do that then. Just take stuff, because we have no federal government. But again, he's totally wrong. He is a racist. He's a Republican. He's what he is. And all of them on the same line as he's talking about. And everybody getting just in the same line, this line of lawlessness. And this is what Mr. Bundy is all about. This will be here for a while. It's not going to melt down right now because things he have said. And again, when the representative of the state, in that particular district, which is African-American, the things he said was pretty nice, nice stuff. We were waiting on Mr. Button to come to his senses, waiting on Mr. Button to do this and this and that. Put handcuffs on him. Lock him up. This is what they do. Why is he getting special treatment? Why?
Yeah, I'm going to pose a question to you and to our listening audience. It's my understanding that if you draw any kind of weapon on U.S. Marshals, then you have committed a crime. Do you see there will be any kind of indictment or any kind of investigation to find out who were these people and charge them with the crimes that they committed? Or are these people going to just get away with two sets of separate laws under so-called One Nation? How do you see how they're going to play out, Mr. Emmanuel?
Well, at the moment, the sheriff of that particular county, the U.S. Marshals, I guess they haven't. But what he said was this: if they do any type of enforcement, they're going to put their wives, their basically the females, their children, in front as shields. This is a statement they've made already. And right now the militia, they have what they call a militia is there, coming from surrounding counties and surrounding states. People are going toward, you know, that particular arena to have it, in case there is a type of confrontation. And I don't see anything at the moment within, I would say, a week of any type of enforcement because, of course, the threats he has put out in front of us. And, of course, you know, we're a nation that we look at things a certain way. Before we act, we think about it. The president hasn't got involved yet because he thinks it's ignorant. I know he thinks it's ignorant, like I think it's ignorant, too. So he's not going to get involved with that, basically. He's in, you know, I think he's overseas anyhow. But he's going to look again, he'll probably look at the Attorney General, look at the U.S. Marshal's Office, and look at our Department of Defense. He's going to take a look at that. And that's where they're going with it now for the moment. Because they don't, you know, they don't need anything like a wounded knee again or we'll be raised and need nothing of this magnitude again. This could blow into something of this magnitude because where is that? It's rancher territory, and ranchers got their cowboy hats on, their cowboy boots on, and they think they're above the law. And they're lawless. They're outlaws, what they are. But I think, again, that if the sheriff gets more involved, I think things will probably, that'll probably calm things. Because you don't want a National Guard, these type of people setting tents up, and you don't want this to happen. But with another week, this could happen. And it's all behind $1.35 an acre, whatever it is. It's all behind almost. But for 20 years, not that much money involved. It says about $1 million involved. So my thing is, how is he surviving? You know, do we do, you know, what do? We put sanctions on him that can't nobody buy none of his livestock or this or that. I don't know all the ramifications of it. But again, there's got to be some type of compromise and do it quickly. Because once this happens like this, who said other people are not going to follow? Other ranchers not going to follow? They didn't do nothing to him. We're going to do the same thing. And this is what we didn't mean to do. The copycat thing is what we do, basically. We do that. Then try to make it a moray. Then a moray is like a law. Try to make it into a law of states' rights. And that, and the way you are in Nevada, that state is like, you know, it's sometimes they don't have it all there. That's an outlaw state because, again, it's gambling. Everything happens there. It don't happen nowhere else. So a lot of things happen in Nevada, don't happen in other states.
What we would like to do right now is allow our listening audience to understand that in order to participate in this discussion today, you can feel free to call in at 818-337-0016, 818-337-0016. When you call in, make sure you hit number one if you have a comment or a question that you would like to ask. It's important for you to hit number one, and we'll let you have your say. We are missing pages of history, and one of the things we want to do is give different perspectives on issues and concerns that are often left out of, not only our history book, but they are often ignored completely. We like to give an analysis that can better inform our communities on how to best view the problem or maybe how to go about attacking them. So today we're talking about a couple of current events, and right now we're dominating this discussion with the Bonin case, and you've been listening to Emmanuel giving his perspective on this particular issue. We'll be going to our phone line shortly, but we also would like to get a response from our other analysts and contributors, Mikhail, Mike. So far, based upon what you have heard, Mikhail and Mike, what additional things you may would like to add to the particular discussion for our listening audience? Mikhail.
Yes, peace. Philadelphia, Mr. Joyner is correct. I think what we ought to look at, too, is that the history of this country is basically what we're looking at. This country was formed by the gun. It was taken from people who were already here. And certain people were brought here to do a large portion of the work. Otherwise, this whole endeavor, this United States of America, would never have been able to really come into existence the way it has. And what we are looking at now is a change in the viewpoint or a paradigm that's beginning to be shaped, where we have a federal system and in the question of the states and local municipalities. So what is the balance of power between these various entities? And that's what's being challenged. And we've seen some of this before. Mr. Joyner mentioned Waco. He mentioned Ruby Ridge. We've also had Waco. And there's a large movement, primarily, I would say, in the South and going to the Midwest and into the West, where the European descendants of the settlers feel that they have rights that are a continuation of how this country started. So the question for them becomes, do we allow a change that's going to unseat us from power, that's going to threaten the freedoms that they had been enjoying, and what are they going to do and how are they going to relate to this federal government where they see now they have an African-American president and growing political power in the darker-skinned peoples that reside in this country. So that's what the problem is. There's lack of funds for most people in the country at this point because of the economy, and it's causing a lot of tension. So you have folks like the Sovereign Citizens Movement, and that movement's been around for quite a while. It's got an interesting history. But this is actually challenging the federal government and what we've become used to in terms of taxes and citizens' rights, individual rights. So it would be a good opportunity to do further study historically and in terms of legalities, constitutionally, state-wise, and local. It is a question, though, of what right does the federal government have versus what rights do individuals have? And as they say, this is supposedly a country based on law. So that's where you'd have to go to suss out the particulars of the law in each state and in what the federal government is allowed to do or not allowed to do. Another thing that's actually very much involved with this is the gun debate. And it's the same question. Second Amendment rights. What does that actually mean? A law-regulated militia, is that something that the government puts up, or is that something people put up? And when you come to the Constitution, there's also something in there, I believe, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, about citizens being able to take up arms to change a government that they feel is not representing them properly or just. So the perspective of these folks seems to be the latter, that the government has become unjust. And it's not a question of fairness with them. It's a question of the ability to get what you need and hang on to it and to hold on to it without anybody else's federal government or not.
Let me stop it right here. Our phone line has lit up. We have a listening audience who like to give their response to it. We're going to stop for a second and bring in one, two of our listening audience. We're going to start with the last four number, 6029. 6029. Welcome to Missing Pages of History, 6029. Your question or comment, please.
Quick question for your panelists. My question is this, and it's a very simple one. Normally, any act that's not palatable to the government is normally termed terrorism. I'm just wondering, how can Cliven Bundy and people his ilk get away with actually advocating this overthrow of the U.S. government without any ramifications? So that's one part. The second part is that I have to, you know, when you listen to what these people say, they often conflate freedom with the oppression of African people. And so I'd like to ask your panelists, in that regard, what does that really mean when you conflate, you know, white freedom with the oppression of African people? What are they really saying? I'd like to pose those questions to your panelists.
Okay, let me start with Mr. Jordan. Can you respond to the caller question?
Well, what he's saying is actually true, but the thing is that we cannot. The Constitution is quite old, and we have to basically move ourselves the way we're moving to a global economy, to a global, everything is global-based. We didn't have this. Constitution was written, first of all. It was very limited for things that they could do. And of course, it got expanded through amendments. But again, we're trying to do that now. With the African-American president, all these things are rising that was already there before. The debt, everything else has been here, the racial inequality, the education, everything is basically secondary to African-American. We came here as slaves, basically, and what they're doing now is just an extension of slavery. That's what we're doing now. And the basic is it called inclusion. They didn't include us on a lot of the stuff they were writing. We were a chattel, a piece of pride when they wrote the Constitution. We have challenged the Constitution. We have won with civil rights. They're trying to put us back into a position of unprofitability. They don't want you to own too much or have too much, have the same rights that they have. They want to oppress your rights, and they're doing it in different ways. They're doing it, of course, they got the organizations that are being funded by people on the right, basically. Make sure this doesn't happen. They try to do any gerrymandering so we can vote in certain districts. We're trying to, you know, kill our votes in a sense, shutting polls down. Everything they're doing because of one man, pigmentation in the White House. This has never happened before. All these things are happening now. Didn't happen before at a very low scale. The economy is fine. We just have too many businesses because everybody wants a business. Everybody can't have a business. You have the same block or two blocks with one gas station. Now you got five gas stations with the same people. It's not the economy, it's just too many businesses. You're still taking these 100 people in that block, the same 100 people who are buying gas at one station. Now you got four stations, so you're not going to make as much wrong with the economy. That's not correct. We're not looking at the other side, and we're not flipping the coin over. We're taking everything to China because it's cheap. This country is based on cheap labor or don't pay for labor. African-American slaves, basically, didn't pay them for almost 400 years for their work. The government being subsidized by African-American slavery. And the same thing now. They don't want to pay you anything for doing your work in sports or anywhere else. So
okay,
the big thing is right now is that is the biggest thing. We have to make sure we fight inequality, which is oppression. They're doing it on a modern stage now. The Ku Klux Klan wears suits now. They in Congress making laws and trying to make laws, trying to get laws done through the Tea Party, all this type of thing. This is the oppression organization they're using. And we have to recognize that, and we got to fight against that and talk about them and expose them. And when Mr. Page is going to expose these people or those groups, and we have to keep doing it, keep pushing for that.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Let's go to your next caller. Next caller, 4298. Caller 4298. Welcome to Mr. Page's History. Your comment or question, please. Caller 4298, question or comment, please. Okay, I guess my caller don't have anything to say. I thought he's on the line to have a question, but I guess he just won't continue to listen. Let's continue to move forward. Let's make a transition into the Bundy case incident and a continuation along the same path. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of which it took place for less than 24 hours ago in the NBA scene, but there's a basketball owner named Donald Sterling. He was recently caught on tape and recorded talking to his girlfriend. Now, let me remind you that he has a girlfriend, but everybody knows also he publicly married to another woman. And his girlfriend is a makeup of half African-American and half Mexican. And one of the things that his girlfriend recently did the other night was to, she went on, went public, went on Instagram and took a picture with Magic Johnson. And she also seemed to have a tendency to invite African people to basketball games and to social events. And recently she did this, must have did this at one of the games, and this was a response from Donald Sterling that they caught him on tape chastising his girlfriend. And keep in mind that she is half African and half Mexican. And this is what he said to her. He said that he feels very uncomfortable for her to be broadcasting the fact that she briefly spoke and took a picture with a very famous black man. Now, that black man was Magic Johnson. He also made statements that it bothered him a lot that you want to broadcast that you were associating with black people. He made another statement such as, you can sleep with black people, you can bring them in, you can do whatever you want to. The little thing that I ask you is not to possibly put it on that BBB and not to bring them to my game. And the last statement he made, he said, he said, don't put him on Instagram. That him person is Magic Johnson. He said the world to see him, then they will be end up contacting him about her putting them on his own Instagram. So in essence, he making statements about his uncomfortability of bringing black people to the ball game. He said he don't want black people come to the game. He don't want his girlfriend associated with black people. But if she does associate with black people, you don't publicize it. What do we make of this particular attitude and behavior? This is an NBA owner of the Los Angeles Clippers basketball team, who predominantly ball players are African ball players, who makes them millions of dollars. But he don't want African people coming to the games. He don't want his girlfriend, who's half African, half Mexican, associated with black folks. He resented. She took a picture of Magic Johnson, put it on Instagram, and said his other friends would be calling him on that. What does it say about that club of people? So, missing pages. What's missing in this page, Mr. Jordan and Mikhail? Your response to that.
Okay, this is Mikhail, Philadelphia. To me, this does not sound really new. It's even if it's not spoken, I think we should all keep in mind that a lot of people feel this way. I can't say that most European Americans feel this way, but it's not a real surprise. But what is a surprise, in a sense, is that people will continue to watch and support and buy the memorabilia that teams that are headed up in this fashion are offering. We can get a little miffed at hearing these remarks, but it's nothing that we should really be surprised at. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can hit them in the pocket, I think that's a good idea, then you can get some response, because what you're doing is you're actually, if you want to talk about subsidizing something, when you buy those jerseys, when you buy those tickets, when you buy that pay-per-view or whatever the sport is, you're financing that. So that's my comment. It's nothing that I'm surprised by. Whether he's just jealous of having Magic Johnson around his girl, that could be it. That could be the source of it. But those attitudes have been here for a long time. Growing up, used to hear this phrase, free white in 21. And they also said this was a white man's country. So even going back to the other fella, the attitudes have not changed everywhere. Here in the Northeast where I live, it's not too bad until you get outside the cities.
But, Mikhail, in terms of your comment, I find something deeper than that. Because if he has no problem with her inviting black people or black men, et cetera, personally, even when it's her bedroom, but just don't publicize it, but have a problem making it publicly that she's associated with African-American people or Africans in this country, it seems there may be a little more issue with that. Mr. Jordan, what is your analysis on this phenomenon with Donald Sterling?
I don't know too much about Donald Sterling. All I know, he owns the Clippers. He's been there for quite some time. I know this president of a basketball operation was Elgin Baylor. He was a player with the Los Angeles Lakers, a Hall of Famer. And he's a cheapie. He's an owner that's very cheap. He don't like to pay his ball players. He has a black coach, Doc Rivers, that he protested paying $7 million for, but he's going to lose his team if he hadn't paid the money because Chris Paul, a few of the players, and Griffin said, we want to bring Doc Griffin here. Going to bring a Doc Rivers here. So he came at $35 million, I think, for 5 years. He was outlandish behind paying this kind of money. He don't want to win. He's got a winner now. He done took over what he always wanted, be better than the Lakers, which he's better than the Lakers now. But on the comment of him having a minority girlfriend, you might say minority makeup, of Hispanic and Mexican and African American, and he's European American. This is the norm. They don't want the black men or African men to have any women because they want their women too. That's always been the case in point. They always have been two timers because they always had from President Jefferson on. He had gained his girlfriend, which was African-American, lived in the White House with him and had, I think, 4 or 5 children by her. So this is their makeup, always have been. I look at him as a person, again, that should not be an owner. That's number one. He never been an owner from the beginning, but the money is so lucrative in being an owner, very lucrative. You got the NBA, the money that comes in, I think it's like $7, $8 billion, NBA, I think football is like $16, $17 billion. So this is quite a bit of money it generates from his time. It makes him a billionaire. Makes him very rich. He really don't care. Magic Johnson to him is probably, he's probably don't like him at all, never have probably, because he's an owner too now. And they don't figure, a black person, African American, should be an owner of anything. This way America, the white America feels, or European American feels this way. Always have been this way. They don't have to pay you for doing nothing. And just to put a backdrop on that, from last week, we'll be continuing about the conspiracy in sports. If they want to make sure that generalization, that the money is passed down to generations, and make sure you don't get any. And the thing is, make sure you get bad press. They don't like bad press. They're supposed to, talk 90% negative press on African-Americans, 90%, and 10%, on European-Americans, bad press. Well, we have to basically flip that. We have to start doing 90% press on European-Americans that's negative, because they are negative, but they make themselves look this way and that way, the better way, all the time, see? They brought the criminal element to this country and have been criminal ever since. But when you do it, it's pronounced. When you get your news in the morning, get your news in the evening, news at night, first thing come on is 10% of negative news about African Americans. We met a very small portion of the U.S. of A., about 13, 14%. But you take that little bit and really blow it up. We have to be conscious of this and make sure that we fill those pages in as being missing pages of history. We got to make sure this happened. Donald Sterling. Again, I don't know that much about it, only as an owner. I lived in L.A. for a while, so what type of person he was. Wasn't a very good person. Loved the younger women. He liked mixed women, women of different ethnicities, which is, that's his priority, which is not a big deal. But again, just him speaking out. I will probably get more on this so I can probably entertain this more. But again,
yeah,
this is the attitude that he has, and 85% of his ball players, almost I think 100% of his ball players, I think are all African American. I think all 12 are, and his coach is also. I think two of his assistant coaches are African Americans. Well, Doc Rivers brought them there, so he's got all this up under him. And he want to make these type of statements. This is preposterous. But coming from Donald Sterling, it would not be. Coming from the European owners, it's not. It's what it is. You got some good European owners. You got some good ones. Donald Kraft, I think he's a pretty nice guy. But you got some out there in this for business to make money and use the tax loopholes to make so you don't have to pay any taxes and make sure that the citizens build them stadiums, build them arenas. This is what they're all about. And make sure they pass that on to their, and their, you know, their friends, make sure that money stays in a certain place. Just make sure you're just a participant. You're just a participant in the scheme of this economy. You're only a participant. But like Mikhail was saying, you know, how do you stop that? Hit them in the pocketbook. Don't buy as many jerseys. Don't buy this. Don't buy that. Once they see that, then they come to the table, and they're going to rephrase things.
Mm-hmm.
It again will be readdressed another way, the right way. Right now, it's the wrong way.
Yes, we'd like to alert our audience, if they go to Sports Nation, NBA Sports Nation, they have a big article on that particular story this morning. So please check out, and later date, we'd like to get some feedback from the audience. In closing, we will go back to our earlier caller, 6029. Maybe give him a chance to make a response to that incident or the statement did on Don Sterling. And then we're going to ask our panelists to make a closing remark. But before we do all of this, we want to remind our viewers that you are listening to Missing Pages of History. We have a second quarterly raffle drawing coming up on the 10th of May. We'd like to encourage all people to support the cause of MPH, because what we're trying to do is uplift our communities. For more information, you always can contact us at 804-726-3217, or you can write us at Missing Pages in History 1 at Yahoo. And any kind of support you'd like to send, all support is welcome, and donations, please send it to our box, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. We're in the process of expanding the show, and we can't do this without your support. So we'd like to have your support. So right now, we're going back to our audience, 6029. Let him make his final comment about Don Sterling, and then we'll get a closing remark from our contributor and our analyst from Missing Pages. To our caller, 6029, what can you make out concerning this attitude of Don Sterling, which it sounds to me that he also reflects a lot of thinking of his peers, why he don't want this particular public attitude to be shown in terms of his girlfriend associating with African-American people. Yes, caller, question.
I think the real danger is that, African people in society perceive as commodity, and that's part and parcel of the global economic system that we live under. I think as long as we're perceived as commodity, our rights, you know, aspirations, our, what we feel, is not really germane to those in power. And so I think what he's saying, as Brother McHale alluded to, is just par for the course in terms of, you know, how they go about conducting business on a daily basis. It's incumbent upon us to understand that we're not commodities and that we do have something to say, something to contribute to the world, but it starts with educating our children.
Okay, closing remark, Brother McHale. Your closing remark to the subject today.
Like the last comment, what I would sum the entire discussion up with is that we need to kind of gauge how far from slavery have we really gone. Now, you may not have shackles that are physical shackles, and in a lot of cases you do because we happen to fill the prisons ourselves and the so-called Latino population. We look at the system that's set up with sports teams. Some people can compare that to a plantation system. One of the jobs I had was very similar, and we call that the plantation. What the problem is that we don't have the economics, and we're not focused in the right direction to stand up to the level of being able to deal with these folks on the same level. We need a little more education in terms of how this thing is set up, instead of this kind of watered down education they've been giving us. An education that really just trains you to serve somebody else, get a job, get a paycheck. So that's my comment. We need to really look hard at what is freedom and what does it involve to be free, and are we willing to work and to do whatever is necessary to accomplish that.
Okay, Emmanuel, you have 2 minutes remaining. Your closing thought, please.
I agree with both. We got to express and expose our people, basically, in the education of ownership and the education of not being just a commodity and a consumer. We have to, again, be an owner. You see what owners can get you. There's no revenge, this or that. I don't agree with none of that. But, again, we have to expose and put challenges out there. When you look at 85% of the football players and basketball players and, you know, the minorities in baseball and everything, that's just a whole minority picture. When you're 5% of what's going on, the coaching, president of operations, the defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, I mean, in the upper echelon of management, we're 5% represented. But again, like Mr. McHale would say, we're still out there not in shackles, but sophisticated slavery. And we have to look at this. How do we make ourselves prominent? We have to get a platform and actually talk about it. We should have 85% African-American coaches in football, baseball, basketball, whatever, because we're the superior players. We make them what they are. We are totally superior, and we have to talk the talk, use the word superior, and we don't use that word enough for us.
Okay, we got one more minute left. Mr. Joyner, can you just briefly, what can we expect of some of the things, upcoming things from Mississippi History for the summer and the fall in terms of how people can participate and support this organization?
Well, number one, we need to go to the polls. We need to vote, first of all. On the general election as well as the national election, we need to do that. We need to speak more in our churches and expose things of really what's going on in the economy world. We got to talk more about ownership. I think we're educated to a certain point, but again, we got there dips and do's in education. We have to understand that. Again, the boundaries that have been drawn for us, we have to undo those boundaries. They're land, you know, they're marks in the sand. Don't cross this line. And one of those things, like it's gerrymandering, make sure our votes are a certain way. So we have, you know, and what that means basically is that you have 50,000 people in the district, and you have two representatives. Where you go into a district of European Americans, might be 10,000 in the district, and you got four representatives. So it's what they're trying to do, to make sure they put these parting lines where they need to be at. We got to make sure that we visit our urban centers where education is being, as long as it's being done correctly, and attacking the system. The system was put here not for us to be included, and make sure that we are included in every aspect. In the economy world, as for the representation, we got to make sure this happens, especially in the court system, where most of the judges, 90% are European Americans, who put down the sentencing. Just for an example, a young lady, I think she got caught with a little marijuana selling it, and they gave her 55 years for marijuana, which now in some states are being sold as profit. So I look at these sentencing laws that we get sentenced 7.5 years longer for the same crime as European Americans do. The main thing is to keep you in these private enterprises that make sure that you are not subsidized in any type of way, and make sure so you cannot vote, you cannot do things after you've been committed a felony. They're trying to turn misdemeanors into. So these are the kind of things we have to expose the missing pages of history.